the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey guys, and welcome to this episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Charlie.
And this is Nathan. And today we are talking about faith. Now, faith is a word that we throw around all the time. It's a word that I know I say probably a few times a day in the setting of a local church or in the setting of the ministry that we work here in. But recently, the Lord's been actually doing something pretty awesome in my life. And he's been teaching me more about what faith is.
And that's important.
Yes.
Like, so important. And I say that just to say the one scripture that comes to mind as you say that is Hebrews 11. It talks about, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right. So this is a crucial subject. And we just wanted to hop on here and kind of share a little bit about what I've been learning about what faith is and share a few stories of God's faithfulness to us. And so we're really excited about this episode.
Yes, we are.
All right. So to get us started off, I was teaching my youth group and I was going through Hebrews chapter 11. And I came to this verse not too far into Hebrews chapter 11. I am on the wrong page. Sorry about that. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, so that's easy to remember, 11:11. It says, by faith, Sarah, referring to the lady who lived all the way back in the days of Genesis, the wife of Abraham. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, here's the key to all of this. This is the thing that stuck out to me the most. You're probably thinking to yourself, well, of course, she had faith in God and whatever. But for whatever reason, my whole life, I had walked through life thinking that the word faith was just this arbitrary word that we use to describe this arbitrary thing, but it's not. I love what the ESV footnote has to say about this particular passage. It says it says about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that what we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is that biblical faith is not this vague hope grounded in imaginary wishful thinking. Instead, faith is a settled confidence that something in the future, something that has not yet been seen, but has been promised by God, will actually come to pass because God will bring it about. Mm. See, faith is not this arbitrary emotion. It's something grounded in the reality of who we believe God to be.
Yeah, that's massively important. What is Hebrews 11, 1? If you haven't already pulled out your Bible and said, what does that verse say? It says, now faith is the confidence of what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. So, man, what are we hoping for and what do we not see? It's what God has promised to come, and we have assurance and confidence in that because God has promised. You could say faith is this trust that God will do what he says he will do. Or if you want to simplify it, you could just say synonymously, faith is trust. If you don't believe anyone that they say, hey, I'm going to do this, if you don't really believe that they're going to do this, you obviously don't trust them. Like, hey, Nathan, if he had a track record, which he doesn't, if he had a track record of failing me time and time and time again, I say, hey, Nathan, you want to hang out, get coffee? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. All right, 10 a.m. tomorrow, I'll be there. And then I go to the coffee shop, 10 a.m. Man, it's 10:05, it's 10:10, he's not here. Where'd he go? Oh, I forgot, I'm sorry, I'm not. Let's say he did that 5 times. I'm not going to trust him the next time he says that. Like, no, I'm not going to trust that that's going to happen. So faith is trust. You trust someone. And biblically, we trust God. We trust Jesus that what he has said, what he has promised, he will accomplish.
Right. It's crucial. I I think it's such a fundamental thing that so many of us miss. If you're anything like me, you definitely missed it for at least 28 years. Like, we miss that faith is not this arbitrary word that we attribute to this feeling that we get when we're trying to act. I don't even have a good definition out of it other than we're trying to act faithful or we're trying to act trustworthy. Like, it's an active dependence on the one who made the promise, which to me, oh, that's exciting.
It is exciting. It makes me think about what does this look like in our everyday life. We have promises in Scripture that God has already promised will come to pass. Let me give a big one. Jesus is coming again.
Yes.
He's bringing his kingdom. He will come. He will do away with sin, with darkness, with death, with famine, with disease, all of it. He's going to do away with it. Satan and sin and darkness and death will be thrown into the pit of fire, into the lake of fire, the pit of hell. And it will be done away with. Jesus will conquer. His kingdom will come. He has promised in Scripture. This is so clear. We have faith this will happen. We trust that he's coming again. Then I think there's another level of faith. Not another level, but
another aspect or yes, another side of it.
There are things in our lives that the Spirit of God may prompt, and we're trusting that God's going to come through.
Right.
So it could be that applied to our everyday, wherever we're at.
In fact, I would extrapolate that. So I feel like Jesus, all over the Scriptures, you can't escape in the Gospels. Jesus is called to be obedient to him. Jesus is called to do the things that he did. Jesus is called to live the life that he's calling us to live. And oftentimes that includes faith. It includes an active dependence on God. It includes having to trust that God is going to come through for us, even when it seems risky, even when it seems dangerous, even when it seems like, how in the world is this possibly going to happen? Actively following Jesus is going to include moments where we just have to take it on faith.
Yeah, and we know. We believe he's going to show up. I actually would say a practice that we could do is to write down our prayers, to write down what we believe God is telling us to do, and then watch him show up. And we'll have a track record to say, wow, God is faithful to do what he has promised to do.
Yeah.
I think of two moments in my life that are significant on this topic. One is, so my birthday is July 9th, and I think a year and a half ago, I prayed, Lord, I felt like the Lord put this on my heart. So I said, Lord, I want to see 9 people saved on my birthday for July 9th. Would you give me that gift for my birthday? Like, crazy specific prayer, but I felt like that's what was on my heart that day. And so July 9th came. I happened to be preaching at this event, at this camp. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to give an invitation for salvation. And I'm preaching and I give this invitation. And 5 people respond to give their lives to Christ. Mm. And I'm like, wow, praise God. But that's not 9, like
5 minus 9 is -4. 4.
Like,
4
Lord,
left.
Lord, what happened to the other 4? 5 is good, but what happened to the other 4? I know I thought we had something going there. That's okay, whatever. So I was praying about the next day. I was going to be preaching again. And I was like, Lord, do I really want to give? Like, this is the same crowd, the same group of people. Am I going to give an invitation again the next day? And I felt like as I prayed, he wanted me to do it again. Hmm. Okay, here we go. I give an invitation the next day, 4 people respond. Hmm. They stand up in this crowd and say, we want to give our lives to Jesus. And it just so happened that one of the persons in this crowd was a woman that stood up, and all the leaders in this church and this crowd, they're looking around like, who's this woman? We have no idea who this lady is. It so happens she saw a sign out on the street that said a service is happening. She just walked in off the street. Heard the message. The Lord had prompted me to give more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and why we would trust him, why we would have faith in him. And it made sense to her. She stood up with those to give their lives to Christ right then and there, right off the street. It's like, wow, God answered the prayer, but he waited to fulfill this promise for the sake of that woman right there. So I think about, wow, okay, we have promises from God, Scripture and things he puts on our heart and our life and hopes we have that he burns in us. And we might think, man, Lord, why aren't you fulfilling this yet? Like, it has not yet come to pass. And God has a purpose in that. Peter talks about his return. Like, he's not slow to fulfill his promises. He's not slow to come back and return again, as some of you think. Actually, He's patient, waiting for more to come to repentance. So God, even yet we can't see the fulfillment of some of these promises, by faith we're trusting it's to come, and we know he has a purpose.
By faith, because our God is faithful and has shown himself to be faithful time and time and time again. I think we look at like the people in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, book of Exodus, right? Famous, like God is like splitting the Red Sea, all these 10 plagues. He's feeding them manna from heaven, quail, water's coming out of rocks, guiding them by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And we look at those people and we're like, what in the world? How is it possible that you're still not trusting? Like, God's doing all this stuff for them, and they start to grumble and complain, grumble and complain, grumble and complain, blah, 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 blah. Whoa, we want meat. We don't want to eat this manna forever. Well, you know, what about this? What about that? We would be better off dying in Egypt, because then at least we'd be in Egypt, you know, like crazy, crazy, crazy. And like God shows himself faithful time and time and time again. And it's like, how do you not have faith yet after seeing all that you've done? And he doesn't let them down a single time.
And then you continue that to the New Testament. And we look at the disciples. Often today I hear it said, well, it would just be better if I could actually be walking with Jesus himself.
Right.
You know, if he was here in the flesh. And
Holy Spirit.
let's look at Jesus walking in the flesh with his disciples. They surely failed a lot of times. Jesus, how many times Jesus says, you have little faith. Where is your faith? Why do you have no faith? They didn't even trust him. They had the God of the universe, God in the flesh, the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form in the person of Christ. They had him with him, and still there was this reality of this battle to trust him. And Jesus said it would actually be better for you if I ascended back to heaven and the Spirit of God came upon you. And then that happened in Acts chapter 2, and we see this radical shift in their lives as they were empowered by the Spirit of God, and they go out with boldness, trusting that when they proclaim the message Jesus sent them to proclaim, that lives would be changed and that his kingdom would come.
Yep. It's awesome. I it's just eye-opening. So here's a story, another story. I felt called by God at a youth group event in like 2000, and it must have been 2012, 2013, somewhere in there. I hear this random word. I'm just praying, Lord God, who are my people? Asking that question, who are my people? And I hear the Lord say, Hagini. And I'm like, So I wrote it down in my journal. I'm a really bad speller. So I was like, well, maybe it's spelled this way, or maybe it's spelled that way, or maybe it's spelled that way. Anyway.
You mean the Lord didn't spell it out for you?
Not literally. He did not say H-A-G-I-N-I. No. Anyway. So I go home, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I just need to Google it. Maybe it's a people group. Maybe it's a place. Maybe it's a building. I don't know. So I Google it, and nothing comes up. Like, I've literally never Googled something and had nothing come up. Nothing comes up. I click on Google Maps, and it takes me to this tiny little dot in the middle of nowhere, Papua New Guinea. And I think to myself, no way. Wow, look what God has done. But the no way in my mind was, yeah, there's not a chance, and there's no way that I'm going to that place. Anyway, time passes, like a year and a half. I kind of do the, you know what, I'll pray for them. Lord, please bless the people of Hagini. I just pray that you would, you know, be with them and be comforting them, whatever. So I'm 2 years later, so 2014, sitting in a car in the middle of nowhere, Africa, after taking a big step of faith and going with Charlie to Africa for a few months, and I'm sitting in a car.
That was a step of faith because it was with me? Or
let's be honest, we had no idea what we were doing. Like, we knew we loved Jesus, and we knew we wanted the Hodzbe to love Jesus, but we didn't know anything else. Anyway, so we're sitting in the middle of nowhere. I'm listening to the Lord again, and I felt like the Lord said, I want you to go to Hagini. And I was like, God, I don't know anybody in Hagini. Like, the plane tickets are really expensive. I'm talking like twice or three times as much as I'm used to paying for an international plane ticket, like super insanely expensive. Like, how are we even going to get there? The road literally ends, and then this people group is even further. Like, how is this going to happen? And he's just said, you know, trust me. And so I continued to pray and seek him. And he continued to burden my heart and continued to burden my heart and continued to burden my heart. And so I started reaching out to different people on Facebook and like, hey, do you know anybody in in Papua New Guinea, any brother or sister in Christ who could lead us or guide us or anything like that? And nothing. Get turned away. And I feel like the Lord said, hey, by the way, I want you to go at this specific time of year, spring. So I was like, all right, Lord, because you've shown yourself so faithful, now I'm realizing this, like, as I'm telling you this story, like, my faith was based upon his faithfulness time and time and time again. So because you've shown yourself so faithful, I'll buy a plane ticket. I didn't have a contact, but we bought a plane ticket, bought two plane tickets, talked my dad into going with me. Anyway, it's like 2 weeks out from our trip. We have plane tickets, no contact still. Finally, someone reaches out back and says, hey, I know this guy. He's a real lover of Jesus, and he lives in Papua New Guinea, and he would be happy to guide you around. So I reach out to him on Facebook. He says, yeah, let's do it. We literally land in Papua New Guinea after like 20. It was like it was the most international flights I've ever taken at once. We flew 3/4 of the way around the world in order to go 1/4 of the way around the world. Anyway, it was a really long trip and hours and hours in the airplane. And we walk out of the airport and I'm like, it's just a bunch of people. And I'm like, where's our contact? And I hear this, like, Nathan call out from the crowd. And this guy, Simon, walks up and we start doing ministry. We hit the ground running the very next day at like 4 a.m. We get in a car and we drive all the way as far as the car can take us. Then we get out of the car and we're like, where's Hagini from here? And they point us over there. And so we start to walk. It's like a 14-mile walk or something like that. That might be 10 or something like that. Anyway, we walk and we get into this village, and they heard that we were coming because our contact found some people from Hagini who were guiding us there. And they were like, hey, by the way, we have this place for you. And we just finished it this morning. It was this amazing, like, wooden hut that we got to sleep in, brand new wooden hut, and slept there. And we watched, I watched as God moved in Hagini. This guy who talked about the spirit of his brother coming out of the grave and like living in his body. And he said, you know, normally I eat one plate of food and now I eat two plates of food because the spirit of my dead brother is in my body. And we shared the gospel with him, and he's like, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. And he prays and surrenders his life to Jesus. And just time after time after time, we find out that...
Did he eat two plates then, one for the Holy Spirit and one for him after that?
You'd have to ask him. Anyway, so like God is moving. Come to find out that these people haven't had a missionary, any messenger of Jesus in more than 30 years. Like the last one was in the 1980s. And they felt forgotten by God. They were like, God doesn't see us anymore. He doesn't care about us anymore. And it was just so exciting to be like, literally, God told me about you. And he sent me here to let you know that he loves you. And you're not forgotten by him. You're remembered by him. And that was all the faithfulness of God.
Yeah, it's I love this scripture in Romans chapter 4 about this same story with Abraham and Sarah, and about this topic. It says, in hope, Abraham believed against all hope, and so became the father of many nations, just as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. Just as God had told him, you will become the father of many nations. So against all hope, against the circumstances, he in hope believed and became the father of many nations. Check out this next verse. It says, Abraham did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Don't say that to your grandparents yet. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. So when we're talking about having this type of faith, this trust that God will do what he promised, we cannot look at our circumstances and say, yep, not going to happen. Abraham was as good as dead, guys. He's an old man. How's he going to have any offspring? Sarah, she's barren. We can't have any kids. They could have just said, you know what? Let's pack our bags, go home. Let's give up right now. Probably not going to happen, Lord. No, God was faithful, and they looked at the promises of God. They looked at God more than their circumstances, and they said, you know what? We're going to trust him.
Eventually.
They did. Yes, they had a journey there to get there. You go back to the Old Testament, read the story. There's a little bit of fumbling, but then ultimately they said, you know what, our faith is going to be in God, and God showed himself faithful. God came through, and it happened. And so I it begs the question to me then, how do we get that kind of faith, and how do we develop it? And two things come to my mind when I ask that question, and I saw that in this scripture here, Romans 4. It says, Abraham grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. So start giving glory to God. Don't look at yourself, because you're going to fail. You're not going to be that great. As great as you are, which you're probably amazing, thanks for listening to this podcast, you're not that great. It's like, you're going to fail. You're not going to fulfill the greatest thing in the world. No, only Jesus can do that. Look at him. Give glory to him. Don't take the glory. Don't touch the glory. Give glory to God. Say, Lord, I praise you. Look how great you are. The word glory, it's like a weightiness. And that weightiness means a value, like on a scale when people would weigh goods or money to see how valuable it was. It says God is full of glory. He tips the scales. He's the most valuable. He's the greatest. So give glory to God. Lord, you're so great. Look what you've done. He in the Old Testament, God tells his people time and time again, remember what I've done. Remember my faithfulness. So maybe think back, what has God done in your life, and praise him. Remember it. And then
just on glory, I think one of the keys that it does is elsewhere in Hebrews, it says, set your eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. Yeah. When we're giving glory to God, our eyes are taken off of our situation. Our eyes are taken off of the people around us, the people who fail us, and they're elevated. And our focus is set on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
It says in that same passage in Hebrews chapter 12 that you're quoting in verse 3, it says, consider him, talking about Jesus, consider Jesus who endured such opposition and did not grow weary. And so that you won't grow weary. How are you not going to grow weary and not give up? Look at Jesus. Consider him.
Give him glory.
The other passage that immediately comes to mind as I see this reality is when Jesus is talking about the wise man. He says, hey, the wise man builds his house on the rock. Yet the foolish man builds his house on the sand. When the storm comes, the rock sustains, his house is there. And when the storm comes to the man who built his house on the sand, it washes away, it's destroyed, it doesn't stand. And what's that story about? It's not just about being a wise man, even though it is. Like, I think we always tell that story in Sunday school, and you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to build my house on the rock. What does that even mean? We never talk about, well, who is the one that builds their house on the rock? Jesus said, is the one who hears my words and does them, puts them into action, puts them into obedience. That is the one who has their house built on the rock. I like to call it a rock solid faith. You want to grow to have a rock solid faith, start doing what Jesus says. And you'll see his faithfulness. You'll walk in obedience, and faith always results in action. If you trust somebody, you're going to act on that. You believe that God will do what he has promised, then you're going to act on that. You're going to say, okay, Lord, I'll do what you say because I believe you're going to come through. I believe your promises are true.
It's true. It reminds me, so in the Indiana Jones movies, the one where he's looking for the Holy Grail, there's a moment in the movie where he has to walk across this thing that looks like a chasm. But in reality, there's a path set before him, a concrete, solid path, but he just can't see it. And so he has to take a step out onto what he believes, what his brain is telling him, what his senses are telling him. There's nothing there to stand on, but in faith, in trust of what he's reading, this ancient document or whatever, I can't remember exactly, he walks forward, and there's ground beneath him, and then he turns around and throws some dust out onto the path. And I think that's such a profound view of what faith is. We're trusting, even though it doesn't make sense, even though I don't see where I'm going to land, even though, we're trusting what God has said to the degree that we're going to take a step out trusting that he'll catch us. Just like Peter getting out of the boat. Why is Jesus's rebuke of Peter, you of little faith? I think what he's saying is, hey Peter, hey Pete, why didn't you trust me, man? Why didn't you trust me?
You did at first, but then you started looking at your circumstances saying, oh, maybe this ain't gonna work after all.
Right.
No, Jesus is faithful.
Right.
So I think as we wrap this up, ask yourself two questions. Do you have true faith? Faith that truly trusts in Jesus. Not, I acknowledge who he is, and yeah, that's probably true, but no, have you really said, Jesus, I'm all in for you. I trust you. Yeah, there's a chair there. You could say all day, I believe that's a good chair. I believe that chair will hold me. I acknowledge that. And then you say, well, why don't you sit in the chair? I'm not sure if that's a good idea. I don't know if I should really. I'm just not feeling it. No, you have to sit in the chair. That is true faith, to say, Jesus, I give myself to you. I'm all in. Do you have that kind of faith? And secondly, the next part is, are you living a lifestyle of faith? Not just, okay, salvation, which most of you probably have, but walking that day by day to say, Jesus, I'm in for the adventure that you're calling me to. I know it's going to take faith. I don't know how you're going to provide. We could tell you story after story of God. We have no idea how this is going to work out. We don't know how you're going to provide. And then he's faithful. Have you begun to take a step and live the lifestyle of faith? Mm. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode about faith.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
No.
So far, God has failed me 0 times. and I'm counting on that remaining that way until the end of my life and beyond. I don't think he'll fail you. I think you'll find yourself in the midst of the greatest adventure of your life, living your life with a purpose that you couldn't possibly imagine before. Living your life with direction and with an understanding that the work that you're doing has an eternal impact. You can see a transformed life, a valuable life in your hands when you say, Jesus, I'm all in for you. I trust that when you say go, you're going to catch me. That when you say step, you're going to catch me. Sorry, I know Charlie said we're done. I have one last idea for you. Is it possible that the first step of faith, like the step that Indiana Jones took or the step that Peter took, that first step of faith is really timid, but then the next step is more confident, and the next step is more confident, and the next step is more confident, and eventually you find yourself running towards the mission and the vision that Jesus has for your life because you have watched and seen how faithful God has been, and you know that he's going to catch you and he won't let you fail? Is it possible? What a wonderful adventure. Anyway, thanks so much for listening to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. Hope you have a great day. God bless.